kind of hard to find a starting place after that. It's so wonderful to feel the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not only brought to you through a sermon, but through a song that just touches our hearts and fills us to full and overflowing with His grace and His presence. I know some of these young people could probably answer the question that I'm fixing to ask. What does a month of November cause you to think of? Hannah, Thanksgiving, turkey, dressing, pumpkin pie, sweet potato pie. When we talk about...
Huh?
But when we talk about November, it causes us to think of what I'm after is Thanksgiving. It causes us to think about what are we thankful for. Do you know that being thankful is a major part of our worship? About probably 20 centuries of history have passed, and they separate us from the time that the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. That's a long time between the time of Paul and Timothy's life and our life today. We know a lot about Paul. He spent a lot of his time writing letters. And the desk that he sat behind to write these letters was mostly in a prison, because he was in and out of prison quite frequently. Do you know why he was in and out of prison? It wasn't because he was a bad guy. It was because he had turned his life around. And he was trying to serve Jesus Christ. And so he was being persecuted. The people were finding every reason they could to put Paul into prison. And it's on one of these particular occasions that he's in prison. And he's writing to a new convert in the faith, his protege, Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young Christian. He was in the stage of infancy. He was a baby in this stuff. The church was new. It was just getting started. There was no members in that church that could say, I've been a member of the church for 40 years. The church wasn't even 40 years old. At this point, it probably was not even 4 years old. It wasn't even a toddler. So we see Paul writing this letter to Timothy, because in this church at Ephesus, Timothy was new. He was inexperienced. He had no clue how to deal with the problems that were facing the congregations there. So we see Paul using the medium of letter writing to get his point across to Timothy about what he wanted Timothy to know. The cultural practices in Ephesus were totally different from what they are today. And this church was just filled to capacity with people that didn't have a clue what doing things the Methodist way meant. There were no Methodists. They were Christians. They were children of God. They had accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And they said, okay, we've done this. Now what do we do? They didn't have a clue what to do. So if you will, please, turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter, I said that wrong, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. The first verse says, "First of all then, I urge that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ himself, human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now, the Apostle Paul begins by placing prayer and thanksgiving in the same category. Paul says that worship, supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving are all part of one whole. It's like eight slices, but one pie. It's the whole thing. It fits together, all of these things. They make up the conversations that we as individuals can have with the Lord. We can dissect these terms of prayer and intercession and supplication. We could dissect it and look at it individually, since each one of these terms comes from a different Greek word for prayer. Let's look at supplications. What is supplication? Supplication is a request. Request for a felt need or a burden that's on our heart. It's a desire to have that need met. So we present this need to God. This is our supplication. It's to ask humbly and earnestly for what we need. That is supplication. Intercession. Intercessions are made for people. We usually like to think of, if you're interceding for a person, we like to think of it as standing in the gap. Standing in the gap. I'm going to take up the slack here. I'm going to intercede for you. You know, Jesus intercedes for us. He's our intercessor today because he has ascended to heaven to the Father, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us. He's filling in the gap so that you and I can have eternal life, so that you and I can make our petitions known to the Father. And you know what? It's an awesome thought that when we bring our petitions, when we intercede for a family member or somebody in our Sunday school class, we're not taking it to down the road to a business office that maybe they'll get around to it in the next year. But we're taking it to God the Father himself. We're taking it to Jesus, and he says, "Okay, Daddy, look here now. Daniel and Karen need such and such a thing done. Let's get it done." And it's done. We don't have to wait. We don't have to put our name on a list Because Jesus Christ is our intercessor. He's right there pleading our case. He's saying, that's my son, that's my daughter. They need a blessing. They need healing. They need a financial miracle. They need, so Daddy, take care of it. You know, it's wonderful that we have an elder brother that is interceding for us in our time of need. That's one thing that the outreach team does. We are intercessors. We meet on Thursday evenings. We go over the prayer list. We have a study course that we're going through. But the main function of the outreach team is prayer. Because after everything is said and done, we sit down and we pray over the prayer list. We intercede on behalf of the needs of those people whose names are on that list. And God has answered prayer. Because there are probably 5, maybe 6 names that are on that prayer list that are still there from when we started. It's a whole new roster. God is in the miracle working business. He is concerned about everything that touches our lives. You know that there has been many wayward sons and daughters that have been brought into fellowship with Jesus Christ because of righteous parents that stayed back there on their knees praying for that boy or that girl that they would find Jesus Christ. When we cry and we pray to God, you better believe, brothers and sisters, that God hears and answers that prayer. Amen. Our prayers are not always answered in the manner that we think they should be. They're not always answered in the time frame that we feel like that they should be answered. But God does everything in His time by His timetable. God cares about us. Thanksgiving. Prayers of thanksgiving should be offered to God because of who God is and how that God has extended His grace to us. First on our list should be thankfulness for the gift of life. Not just life, but the gift of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is what we should be thankful for. And since Paul says in his writings, in his letter, Paul uses the term, all men, everybody, should lift up holy hands in praise and in thanksgiving for all that God has done. We should pray. For who? I like to think that I have all of you praying for me as your pastor and my family. But Paul is telling Timothy, you need to pray for the people who are in authority. Now, wait a minute. I don't like him. I don't like the job he's doing. I don't like her as a preacher. I don't like him as a preacher. And you think I'm going to waste my time praying for him? Ain't going to happen. But that's not what Paul is telling Timothy to do. He says we need to pray for the people that are in authority. Just as we're instructed to pray always, we're instructed to pray for those in authority. From the birth of the church, there's been plenty of wicked rulers and tyrants. But they were just an object of prayer for the disciples. When disciples were being mistreated, It was their goal, their prayer. They said, Father, even Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do it. But it's hard. This good news is for everybody, for all people, for kings, for even the president, for everyone that's in authority. Because you know when we pray for these people, they automatically come under the influence of the power of God. They may not even believe in God, but when we pray for them, those prayers are over that person just like that cap on a bottle. Because we as children of God are praying for those people. And they might want to do wickedly. But they are, whether they want to be or not, are under the influence of the power of God when we pray for them. One of the greatest pitfalls that the American Christian has is a dislike for political leaders with whom they disagree. Instead of praying for our political leaders, we're often the first person to cast the stone, to find fault. And I'm not innocent. I'm just as guilty as anyone else is, because I find myself saying, why would I waste a perfectly good prayer on that heathen when they know they're doing wrong? Lord, why don't you do something? And we miss the whole point because we fail to pray for that person. It may be the President of the United States. It may be a senator. It may be a local judge or a congressman. It may be a school teacher, your school principal. But a person, all of us are under the authority of somebody. If you work, you have a boss. And we have to pray for that person in authority. It might be a simple prayer, Lord, help them to get off of my back. Which I've prayed that prayer when I was working. Lord, help me get out of this place. All of us have faced times that we just really did not want to pray for that supervisor or for that leader. The Apostle Paul's telling Timothy, it has to be done. Because if you don't pray for these people and lift them up to God, you'll be in a worse mess than what you already are. And if we don't pray and ask God to deliver us and to save our country, to save our nation, we already headed down a bad road and it will get worse. Unless we do what Paul is saying and band together and pray for those people in authority. And you know another interesting thing about this is that the Apostle Peter held the same sentiments as Paul. He told his readers in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 17, to show respect for everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the king. We should honor the offices of those in authority, even if we don't respect the individual that's holding the office. Did you hear that? Let me say that one more time. We should honor the office of those in authority, even if we don't respect the individual that's holding the office. I've heard people say, you don't have to respect me, but you've got to respect my position. Same thing that Peter's saying right here. And we can have these things changed only through prayer. It is possible that we may be praying amiss. What does that mean? asking for something you don't have any business to ask for? It could mean several things. There's a man named E.M. Bonds who's quoted as saying, God shapes the world by prayer. God shapes, he forms, he molds the world by prayer. Is the world like it is because of the way we pray? Is it like it is because of the way we don't pray? Something to think about. Are we praying amiss? Are we saying, Lord, bless me and mine. Bless my house. Bless my home. Bless us four and no more. Is that what we're praying? Often we pray, me, 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 me. When we're instructed to pray for everyone. You may be saying, well, I would pray, but I just really don't know how to pray. Paul tells Timothy, I desire then that in every place men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. Believers must also avoid what? Doubting. Doubting is the opposite of faith. Luke says in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, Luke tells us to persevere in faith, never faint. And in Colossians 4, 2, Paul says, tell us, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. You know, it's hard to be thankful when God doesn't give us what we want. It's hard to be thankful when you ask for a lemon and you're given an orange and you're sitting there with a glass of tea. It's hard to be thankful when we don't get things our way. God allows things to happen. Sometimes to get our attention. And we wonder why we suffer, why we have sickness, why we have disease. We don't know. But we have an encouragement. Remember in the Old Testament how that in Job, the 42nd chapter, verse 10 tells us that Job was healed when he prayed for his friends. The Lord gave Job twice as much in the end as he started out with. And I firmly believe that if we want to get God's attention, we have to do two things. Thing one, we must pray for everyone. Whether you like that person or not, pray for them. Whether you know that person personally or not, pray for them. And we must come boldly and enter the gates of heaven with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. If God never does anything else for us, we should praise him for his grace, for his love, for his mercy. God did it all when he gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could have eternal life. Love and praise Jesus for what he has done and for what he's going to do in your life today. He's a friend that will stick closer to us than any brother or sister ever will. Because, folks, we can talk to Jesus when we can't talk to nobody else. He loves us, and he doesn't turn around and shrug his shoulder and say, I just really don't want to hear about that right now. I'm busy. But Jesus will say, come on, my child, talk to me. Tell me all about it. And that's what he wants us to do today, is to tell him all about it. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother or sister that you will ever have. So go to him in prayer today as we sing our closing hymn, page 526, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Would you stand, please, as we sing?